from Matthew chapter 12. Wherefore I say to you, all your sins and blasphemies shall be forgiven unto you, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto you. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Father, I approach this, asking you to make me a clean and pure vessel to deliver this message. If every one of us here don't let the minds of the young people and the adults drift of the attack of the enemy, and let us, for this time, set our mind on every word, every presence of God that is with us. In Jesus' name, everyone say amen, and you may be seated. For a great number of weeks, Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, I've been preaching on the Holy Spirit. I have endeavored to start with the simplest and take us through a study of this most important thing of the Bible. I feel that I will yet preach on it more, but I come to this to where I knew that I must include this, so I preach. The sin against the Holy Spirit is unpardonable. I've heard preachers make boasts. And part of their boast is there are certain things in the Bible that I've never preached, I've never taught. May God never let that be true of this preacher. I pray that God will make me an able minister according to His word of the New Testament. Cry aloud, spare not. What in the world could ever be the thinking of a teacher or a preacher that they would feel so bold as to declare that there are certain truths of the word of God that they will not teach or preach? I never want that true of me, but I do want to preach the truth in love. I do want to preach it in the right spirit. I do want people to hear, and I do not want them to be clouded in any way. My prejudice on my part, I pray to God that I've, in these 25 years, preached to you the whole counsel of God I've endeavored. Sometimes it includes the Word of God that says, harden not your heart. How in the world are we going to know, unless we hear, harden not your heart as it did in the days of provocation? God said there will come a time when I will cut you off. That's difficult to preach. And one thing that makes it difficult to preach is you know it's the true word of God. He said, suddenly be cut off without remedy. The warnings of the word of God are, God's spirit will not always strive with man. People do not realize until they hear it. You can miss the day of your visitation. I believe that God wants all of these things. I read in the word of God where people that have gone to hell, they pray that God would send somewhere to their family to warn them. Warn them that they not come to be all the place. Do you remember when Brother Clendenin was speaking? He told of a sermon that he'd heard. I received that sermon. I've heard it several times. A man preached. The title of his message was, "There's No Place Like Hell." He told a story how he sat down with his children and his family. And he told them of a story of having gone to a hospital where there was a man that had cancer of the mouth. He told of the horrible stench. He told of the agony and the torture and the torment. The man talking to his family, to see it, to experience it. You couldn't stand the smell. The cries of the man in horror because they couldn't relieve the pain. And he told his children, there's no place like hell. For all that man is suffering and all that he's experiencing, there is not a man in hell that wouldn't change places with him. There's not a man in hell that wouldn't change places with a suffering man. There's no place like hell. So yes, I'm going to preach like some preachers and teachers tell you you'll never have to hear out of them. It's in this book. If it's in this book and you're called to preach it, if you don't preach it, somehow, you've let God's people in. This is not biblical. There are many scriptures regarding the Holy Spirit. A lot of things that remove people from God and God from them. I can give you a lot of scripture, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to tell you, I believe, that we're so near the end of time. We are so near the time of the coming of the Son of Man. Politically, religiously, spiritually, domestically, everywhere, every place that you look, the Bible said it would be days of perplexity. That means there is no way out. The conditions of this world, there is no way out. I preached Wednesday night on revival. I believe in revival. I say revival is the thing of the heart. If that heart is right and you're full of God, Christ, and God, you have revival. But in the Word of God, we'll find that He said that there will come a time when men would not preach sound doctrine. They would have itching ears. And the only thing they want to hear is three things. They harden their hearts. I'm going to say something I hope you understand. There's a lot of things. Grieve not the Spirit. We're told these things concerning the personality of the Holy Ghost. As to how that we are to live before Him. I can tell you adultery is not an unpardonable sin. I can tell you that drunkenness is not an unpardonable sin. I can sit here and name all the things that are not unpardonable in that sin. But there is a sense in which the unpardonable sin is to continue to harden your heart. Therefore, any sin can become unpardonable. Think about it. In this, from the scripture that we've read, this is dealing mainly, and let me go to this part first. This is dealing mainly with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were religious, right? The Pharisees knew Jesus Christ. They knew Him in His person. They did not know Him as the Father. You can know all of it, you want to know about religion. But if you do not know this Jesus Christ, you are lost. Jesus was dealing with these Pharisees in this reading. Let's take it kind of how it goes. Did they ever see Jesus sin? No. He was sin. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Not one Pharisee. They didn't like what he said. They said, sin, that's what he says of himself. They couldn't prove him wrong. But among all that they had seen, and all that they knew, they had also seen the miracles of God. They could not deny the power of God. They could not deny the miracle of God. It was irrefutable. They had clear evidence of the power of God. But yet these impressive miracles, they turned their heart against it. You tell all your life, I'm just putting it in another way. That leading to the unpardonable sin is to attribute the works of God to the Father. I'm going to get on to you in a minute. I hope this shows you beyond any shadow of a doubt that the unpardonable sin is in word or in writing. In your heart, you cannot deny the power of God. Every one of us, sinners, pardoned, adulterers, other men's wives, other women's husbands, we were caught, wicked, ruined. If you are born again, you cannot deny that there's only one thing that's saved, and that was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If He saved you, you are a miracle. Don't ever, He said, if you speak a word against the Father, the Son, to be forgiven. If you speak against that Holy Ghost, whereby we were convicted, we were drawn by the Spirit to the bleeding side of the Savior. God, have mercy on your soul. God, have mercy on our souls. We have clear evidence of the power of God. We've seen impressive miracles, healing given, and everything tells us that comes from the heart of God. It's all because He loves us. It's because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. You did not deserve a miracle. You did not deserve forgiveness. None of us. I thank God that I'm a miracle. I thank God that I'm a miracle. But what about these Pharisees? I said Wednesday about revival being in the heart. Man looks on the outer appearance, God looks on the heart. Had a conversation with a good preacher from the man. And he was telling me, he said, I will go anywhere, anytime, and preach to any people. I said, I think that's commendable, and I think we all will. But I can't remember any time in my mind when Jesus went specifically to the Pharisees and said, I won't try to convince you who I am. He rebuked them. He said, you're scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, your snakes in the grass, because they did not believe Him. There's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than the instrument of the human heart. I mean by that, do you remember the man that hated David and sought to take David's life? The Bible said God gave him a heart of stone. He lived for 10 days with a heart of stone because he sought the life of the man of God. I'll tell you what, folks, God keeps good records. God keeps good records. It's been said, I read this way back in Ripley, Tennessee, that they say that there are instruments that are being made, that every word that's ever been spoken in this earth are still in the air. And they say that there will come a time when they will be able to pull those promises out of the air. They will stand in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. It's still out there. Not only in writing. God said you're going to give an account for everything that you've done. Every word, every thought, every blasphemy. We don't know how long this judgment's going to take. But when the judgment does come, every man has a right to hear the accusations against him and to plead his case. I believe that everything that I've ever said, one of these days, God have mercy on me, will be heard in the judgment. I will give an account for what I said. It's in your Bible. I will give an account for what I do. It's in your Bible. They have so set their hearts against not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Word that He performed. So what they did, they rejected obvious truth and they objected and sinned against sight, what they had seen, what they had heard, what was written. kings who are wicked people, and they're in hell. That's where they belong. We were talking about an unpardonable sin. Do you think that God's going to overlook the unbelief of the Pharisees? The denying by the Pharisees? He's not going to do that. But even worse than that, they tried to influence the crowds. If you don't believe something of God, you better keep your mouth shut. Because whatever you say is recorded, it's out there. And we're giving care for every word I can do. How many of that crowd saw and were persuaded to believe that those Pharisees say, look, I know more than you do. Listen to me. I see who he says he is. I feel like they did at the cross. Don't put on that because he's Christ, King of the Jews. Come on, that's who he said he is. My wife, God love her. I took last Thursday off. She got up Friday. I was already in the dress to come into the office. And got so sick. I wanted to get sick of him by now. Trying to just tear back across the room. So I told me Thursday and Friday, Saturday. So think about what I would say when I'm representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything with him is clean. Christ. Everything with the devil is unclean. The thing that tells who the devil, he said, he cast out the devil. Now they couldn't deny that the devil was cast out. They said, come on. But they said he did it by Beelzebub is the God of the dungeon. They said, what he's done, he did by the power of the God of the dungeon. So what do you know what they're doing? They're including him, or accusing him of sorcery. They are accusing him of being in league with the devil. And you can't get into them more serious than that. Jesus said, I do the work of the Father. If you deny in the power of God to heal, the power of God in miracles, the power of God for anything, you're calling God a liar. I look at things differently. I tell my wife, I ignore him. I tell her, I said, I just pray one thing, that I never bring embarrassment to the gospel. I never bring embarrassment to the gospel. See you this day, who you're going to stand. If God is God's servant, if the devil is God's servant, if God is God's servant, Jesus said, you know what to say. We take everybody else's word. The doctor says you've got a headache. The doctor says you've got fever. The doctor says you've got a sore throat. The doctor says, take my prescription. Jesus said, you know, said, I'm your healer. I'm your physician. I'm your answer. I don't know exactly how God looks at all the things in light of the way that I am. But it is possible to deny clear witness. Hello? You can have a clear evidence and let that thing turn into something that God thinks that is true. Let me jump down here. These are definitions taken from dictionary. He said, all men are sin, all men are blasphemy. So what is blasphemy? Let me say this first. All sins can be forgiven. All sins shall be forgiven. Including blasphemies. Except for the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If you follow in your Bible, you can go to Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12 and verse 12. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Thank God. Trying to be usual. The two phrases that are put up, the words that speak against, or who blasphemes, are paramount words. Blasphemy again involves
speaking a word against God. I've got to get all of this in, and my time is running short. Blasphemy in its definition involves speaking a word against God. Have you ever said, "Oh my God"? Have we ever used the name of God in a wrong manner? There used to be a person that worked here in this office, and their favorite saying was, "Oh my God." I'm going to tell you who it was, but one of the other employees came to me and told me, I shake. I shake every time I hear it. You have to rightly divide the word of truth. We all know that. But when you bring desecration to the holy character of God, if you insult him, mock him, dishonor him, in a sense, what you're doing is the opposite of giving him praise. We're told to praise God. We're told that he inhabits the praises of the people. I know where I'm going, so hang on. When Paul, before he'd come to know the Lord, he persecuted the church, even killed him. Now, Paul was not blaspheming when he killed him. Paul thought he was doing God a favor. He thought everything that he was doing was right. Let me tell you, somebody better preach this gospel because they are sins such as we never imagined. God said, "My spirit will not always strive with a man." Whenever God brings conviction, that is to bring you to a place of repentance. Do not repent and get right with God. I cannot tell you how long I could put up with that. My spirit will not always stop me. How long is it? I don't know. Let me tell you a story again that I've told before many times. When I was in Tennessee, and that's where I got my boot camp for ministry. And one night I preached, and I was a minister on this side of the church. He was sick and I could use him. Actually, he had two sentences of peace in the room. People would come to their office to be saved. He would move. I never go to people and went down and I said, "Look, I don't know you, you don't know me, but I can see that you're convicted." He was so bad and I'm sorry. He was just as wicked as this thing. I used to preach in the pulpit the same way you preach the temples. He said, "I got involved in an adultery." He heard me talk. He told me the story and he stood up and he stopped and began preaching in the phone again. He said, "I got in my car. I would drive to her house. Maybe I was to the family." He said, one day, what is that unpardonable sin? I don't know. Always. But he said, "I got in that car, headed for that rendezvous." He said, "Preacher." He said, "I broke out in a sweat when I stopped in the car. He said, "I thought I was going to swallow my heart." He said, "Something said in me, if you walk in that house again, I'm going to cut you off." It's a serious thing. He said, "I walked up the steps, got to the port, whatever way, knocked on the door, and the door." He said, I was tired. He said, "God said, if you go through that door, I'm going to cut you off." For him, that was an unpardonable sin. The adultery is not unpardonable. It was for him. He said, "When you open that door, you see my step across the door as well. God cut you off." Just to come down to me, I probably don't remember. But when I started going to this church, I started going to this church on June 2nd, 1962. Brother Kendall, Brother McKnight, when Reagan Eisenhower had a revival, I've never seen anything like this. One night, there was a man in a whiskey bottle that went to the altar. Drinking whiskey is not being part of the sin. If a doctor and whiskey drinker was being part of the sin, there wouldn't be anybody left in by now. That man walked in the aisle, put that whiskey bottle on the altar. I thought people prayed with him. Brother Clinton prayed with him. Brother McKnight prayed with him. People crying out to God for that man's salvation. My grandmother lived on Duset Street in Beaumont. That's where all the switching of the railroads took place. I found Duset being passed over. One night, still on the way down, we heard late in the night, you know how they just bring those emergency sedans when they came, when they came in action. We went because she didn't go from here to 11th Street to that railroad crossing. We got out there. There was a man that had been hit by a train, laying on the track. You know who it was? The same man with the whiskey bottle. And that's in that all the time, the American Legion. And the last thing that ever heard was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Being not deceived, God is not me. I've got to jump over a lot of things. And I'm going to get out of here. Somebody says, that's the fellowship. Can Christians commit on part of the sin? I said, I'm going to have first before I'm sorry. Not either. Over this message. My inability to get much reading done. Don't separate with me and God. But in that place of looking what this picture, that picture, this picture, every one of them that I read out said, but it had to be only in the days of Jesus, and it could only be the Pharisee. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that the Lord of glory, who saved us, who saved us with his Holy Spirit, is the only one to keep us from committing any part of the sin, whatever it would be, against the living God. Father, I'm not done your word, just for the time. How near we are to the end of all things. You think the end of all things has come up before you. I know that's where we are. I pray that I will in some way help people to see that it's by the Spirit of God that we're convicted. It's by the workings of the Spirit to bring us to repentance. That we have sin against God by the Holy Ghost. He was a good example. If it was just the man, the Lord Jesus, he would have committed an impartable sin. But he said, I know not that man. I know not that man. But there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness. Not for the sin against the Holy Spirit, but for that sin. That so easily drags us down, falls on us. And upon a man of forgiveness, I cannot tell you when that may be done for a lifetime. So we live for Christ. We walk with God. We stay true to the Holy Spirit in our lives. We watch what we say. We watch what we do. We watch what we write down. I didn't get into all of those parts of it. But, oh God, there is a record being kept. And I want mine to be clear. Through the washing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.